I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Tuesday, August 16. Nathan Buckley shared his reservations about the turmoil at Essendon.
The club have clearly already made a decision on their current coach. My worry for Essendon and the entire club and supporter group is that they've actually done this the wrong way. I mean, you've got to make a decision on your incumbent coach before you go chasing another one, and if that is in fact happening. Because I mean, if I'm in Alistair Clarkson's shoes, I'm wondering, well, is this actually been done in the right way? He's actually been a coach who, or a person who has spoken about integrity and a right way of doing things. And yeah, he may not like at all the way that the Essendon Footy Club and board have treated Ben Rutten in all of this, or their players and football department underneath them.
And we workshopped the tribunal case centred on Zane Cordy.
The way I would glean it now is reportable offences are anything that caused harm to an opposition, especially to the head or through concussion. And you can actually be concussed without making contact to the head. And this is, Bruin's head hits the ground afterwards, and that may be when the concussion actually occurred, if there is in fact. Has it been a confirmed concussion?
Yes.
Is that the medical report?
Yep. Yes.
So, but it could also have happened simply through body-to-body contact and a whiplash action without any contact of the head to anything else in particular. But, you know, that's we're starting to go into really sort of question mark areas when we're judging on outcome and not on intent. Let's just put flags in our shorts and make it a non-contact game and let's be done with it.
Patrick Dangerfield shared a haunting story about the hours leading up to Phil Walsh's death.
And halfway through the year, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was it around 7 or 8 that Phil Walsh is tragically dies, is murdered? I remember, so that was a Thursday night. I met with Phil on the Wednesday that afternoon. I haven't spoken about this actually, because he said, I need to know. And Phil was one that you could actually sit down with and rightly or wrongly, I felt like he actually wouldn't tell the board, that he'd just go, this is what it is, it's fine. So I met with him at Henley Beach that afternoon, about 4:30. He had a green tea, loved his teas. Asked me what I was doing. I said, I want to go home. And he was, yep, okay, no worries. You know, like he was very pragmatic around that. So that was like, shit, all right, it's, you know, before the halfway mark, whatever week it was.
Around 11, yep.
It's a long way to go. This is what it is. So, all right, went home, told Mads, told Phil, and then go to bed. David Noble knocks on the door at 5:30 a.m. and he's dressed to go to work. What are you doing here? And he said, I need you to come in. Phil's been stabbed. And it was like, what? He said, Phil's dead. You need to come in. Phil's been stabbed. We need to get everyone, the group together. And it was like just this incredible whirlwind of emotion in a 24-hour cycle, less 12-hour cycle of telling the senior coach that I'm going to leave at the end of the season to he's been murdered that night, and now the next 3 hours will be getting everyone in as quickly as possible with all the leaders calling players to come in to explain the circumstances. So it was it's still surreal to think back then because it just didn't feel real at the time given sort of what the week has been like for me. Yeah. So, it was a crazy time.
Veteran sports administrator Malcolm Speed ran his eye over LIV Golf.
Initially, Jared, I was offended by the prospect of Saudi Arabia trying to set up a golf league in opposition to the PGA Tour. I've come round a lot as I've understood more about what's happening in Saudi Arabia and particularly with this competition. And what we have here is we have two huge beasts here. We've got an elephant fighting a lion. It's PGA Tour has, together with the European Tour, the DP Tour, has pretty well a monopoly on world golf, for world tournament golf, apart from the four majors, which they slot in there. And it has had for a long time, and it defends its monopoly, its position very, very vigorously, as it should. The LIV Golf is funded by the Saudi government. It's a small part of a wider investment for developing as Saudi Arabia by 2030. So I think there's $500 billion put aside for this development, which is a big number. $3 billion of that is set aside for golf. So $3,000 million is set aside. Is that right? $3,000 million yep. set aside to set up golf tournaments around the world. And they have a different model. They want 12 teams of four players playing in tournaments, and they'll probably go down the private ownership route. I think that's the only way they can get their money back, or to turn it into something that's profitable, is they sell off these franchises. So it's a bit like the IPL, selling off the franchises to individuals, whether in the Middle East or elsewhere.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.